gospel. In verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 4, let me ask you to stand to your feet tonight. We're going to reverence in that reading God's Word. I'll let you sit down, then we'll preach a little while. The Bible said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. What's he talking about? The treasure. Talking about the gospel. Talking about that light that has shined in darkness. We have a treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you. I beg for your help tonight. And I ask that you just touch us now for just a little while and anoint us afresh while we might preach. And that what you've given us tonight, I pray that if there's somebody here lost, that they'd get saved, that see their need and that of salvation, to come to trust you. Just help the one tonight that just needs strength. Lord, that seems to be a little cast down tonight or downtrodden. Help them, Lord. We're going to trust you tonight. Look to heaven for our help. Save that sinner that's near his tail for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. As I said, as Paul talks about his ministry and the life that he lives in the first two verses, he said he had renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully but by manifestation and that of the truth. And the truth is what is important tonight. Amen. Whatever the truth is, that is what I want to know. But I want you to look in verse 3 and 4 tonight. And here's where we'll hang out for just a little while with God being our helper. And I want to preach, having a thought, on what does it mean to be lost? What does it mean to be lost? As I studied this, I thought this would have been more of a Sunday morning message, but God knows who's here tonight. And let me say tonight that if you're lost, you need to get saved. Amen. If you've never trusted Christ to be your personal Savior, tonight is your night to come to know Him. Right here in verse 3, the Apostle Paul is calling those that are unsaved lost. You know that word lost means to be ruined or destroyed. It means to be wasted or squandered away. Hey, ain't you glad tonight when something is lost from us, we may not be able to find it, but thank God Jesus can find a sinner tonight. Amen. I'm glad of that. You look in Luke 15 and you find the story in that of the man that had 90 or had 100 sheep and lost one. And the Bible said that he went out and found that one lost sheep. Hey, I'm glad there's a Sunday night that Jesus found me. Amen. I pray that he's found you tonight. Listen, at very few times in the Bible does it refer to the unsaved as being lost? But right here it does. Luke 19 and 10, the Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And can I say tonight, there's a multitude of people that were around, millions and billions of people in the world dying without Jesus, needing the gospel. The very first song that we sung tonight, page 97, Jesus Saves, Jesus Saves. Ain't you glad tonight that He still saves? Amen. He saved that sinner that was hanging on the cross next to Him. Listen, He said, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. And He's been saving sinners ever since. And forgiveness. Hey, ain't you glad tonight to be saved? Amen. And I'm glad to be that way tonight. I want to look at just a few things. And you pray for me tonight. Number one, and looking at what does it mean to be lost. Number one, the gospel is hid to the lost. Notice what the Apostle Paul said right here. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. What does the lost world need tonight? They need the gospel, don't they? They don't need programs. They don't need plans. Listen, they don't need everything that the world has to offer them, but they need the gospel, the love, the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach to them to show them that they're sinners, but Jesus loves them in spite of themselves, and He'll save them if they'll come to Him. And the gospel is plainly just the death, the burial, and the resurrection. If you believe that tonight and ask Jesus to save you, He'll do that. And boy, thank God for that tonight. But the Apostle Paul said, if our gospel, so he makes it a possessive gospel tonight. Three times in the Scripture, I believe it was, twice in the book of Romans, and once in the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul calls the gospel my gospel. That's the way he referred to it. And here he refers to it as our gospel. Now listen tonight, it is our responsibility and that to preach and to teach and to share, if you let me say that, to make abroad and that the gospel of the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, as he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. How is the gospel hid? How could the gospel be hid? Listen, friend, we're not only in the Bible Belt, but we're living in the buckle of the Bible Belt. There's more churches around here, I believe, than there is anywhere in the whole world tonight. Listen, we're eat up with church, but the gospel still ain't being told tonight. So how is the gospel being hid? How does Satan keep the gospel hid? And I say tonight that in a lot of churches, it's maintained within the four walls. I've been doing a lot of church preaching lately. And you know, that's what church is for me to do church preaching. It's to help you be able to live as you go out in this world. Now, I'm going to come across the cross somewhere while I'm preaching, but listen, when we're living out there, we got to quit trying to clean folk up and just get them saved. Amen. I mean, you just need to present the gospel. Listen, folk afraid to death, and have to talk about what Jesus has done. Afraid to talk about what He's done for them. Listen, I understand that some folk are not going to be as receptive as others, and those that are not receptive, I don't force it on them. I go on about my business and my way, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus left us here and that to win others to Him. It's just not to be preached in the church house. It's to be preached outside the church house. Listen, whether it's on the street corner, amen. And by the way, you know, let me move on. It's only the gospel tonight that'll save, amen. I was about to dig a hole right there, but I better quit. Listen, it stays within these four walls, and if you don't get sinners brought in here, how are we ever going to preach to them? You say, well, I'm saying, I'm telling the truth. You get sinners in here, I'll preach to them. I'll guarantee you that. I'll tell them that Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them, wants to save them. They're going to die and burn in hell. If they don't get saved tonight, I'll tell them all of it. But you know what? I can't be everywhere where you're at tonight. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. If we get to fighting among ourselves, we're going to hide the gospel just sure as the world. We're going to hide it. We're going to be too contained and too maintained about squabbling and fighting and carrying on. Hey, listen, the cause of the church, the mission of the church is not to fight among themselves and to fight with each other. Hey, if we got to fight, it's not with flesh and blood, but friend, it's with principalities and powers. We're to fight the devil and his people, but not each other. Amen. Church gets fighting among ourselves, we're hiding the gospel. When you and I don't live separated and that from the world, we're hiding the gospel. How can folks see Jesus in us if we're living like the world, dressing like the world, looking like the world, talking like the world, smelling like the world, want to be like the world? Can I tell you, you can't have it. You can't have it your way, friend. We're not at Burger King here. Amen. I ain't ate at Burger King. Since I had that queer hamburger, I quit eating there. Amen. You can ask my wife, and I would love to have a Whopper sometime, but I ain't going to eat there. I made my commitment, and there's the end of it. You got to do what you got to do. Some of you just wondered about that queer hamburger. Go look it up sometime. But listen, yes, we'll catch you on after a while. Listen, we're more concerned. We're trying to live out in the world, trying to look like the world. Hey, listen, folks looking at us. If they know you go to church and you profess to be saved, I'm telling you that, folks looking at you. And especially lost folk, they want to know what's different about you than it's different about them. You ever heard somebody say, well, I can live just as well as they live? And there's probably some truth to that. As a matter of fact, I know some folk that are that are probably lost and probably got better morals than some church people. Amen. By the way, not everybody's sitting on a pew saved either. Amen. So if you need to get saved tonight, I want you to come. Listen, but we get more concerned about us than we do others. And in church, let me say this, if we're not careful, we get more concerned about numbers than we do souls. Can I ask you something? Do you ever drive down the interstate, and especially at the nighttime, you can see them headlights coming at you? Do you ever think about it, that there's a soul in that car? So I've not done that in a long time, but as I studied for this message, I got to thinking of it. And there was a time that I used to travel up down the interstate a lot. And I would look at them cars and I'd wonder, how many's going to heaven and how many's going to hell? There's souls out there. And the Apostle Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So if he cannot get it hid to keep us preoccupied with things, whether it is fighting among ourselves or whether it's living like the world, and by the way, you should be separated. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. We need to be separated tonight. That is not popular. That is not, if you're wanting to be part of the world, that's something you don't want to do tonight. But I'm going to tell you, the world has nothing for me and it has nothing for you. And I would recommend that you just separate out of the world tonight. Do you know that your spiritual life would be a whole lot better if you just separated out of the world? Amen. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, you're getting beat up from both sides. You're trying to live in here and the world's dragging you out there, and you come in here and I'm beating up on you for trying to live like the world. That's what you think. You think the preacher's beating up on you tonight. Well, the preacher, I tell you those things because I love you and because we've got things to do. We don't need our gospel hid. But if we're not preoccupied, then Satan and that will begin to persecute. Do you know that? If he can, one of the greatest things, I guess, that he done with the New Testament churches, is Satan tried to stamp them out by persecution. And every time that he would stamp on the church, the embers would just scatter and pick up fire somewhere else. But you know what he's figured out? He's figured out if he just gets in the church, he can slow it down. But he's still persecuting us from the outside. Did you know that? The state of California is passing legislation right now, and I should have brought that with me and what it was to deal and that with homosexuality that you can't try to convert folk out of that. Now they're saying right now that it's just for a counselor or somebody that's being paid to do that, or you can't sell any books on that. You can give the book away or whatever. But listen, that's just one step that they're already taking away our liberty on preaching on that. And listen, it's just a matter of time that they'll take it all away. It's wrong, ain't it, tonight? Amen? And sodomy's wrong tonight. It's sodomy. And listen, there is. If he can't get us preoccupied and get the gospel hit that way, he will begin to persecute and to try to stop the church. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "Yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." We live in the greatest nation that there's ever been outside that little nation of Israel. And listen tonight, we're in the freest nation. And do you realize that there are Christians in third world countries tonight that are laying their life down on the line and that for the Lord Jesus Christ? Christ ain't asking us to die for Him. He's asking us to live for Him. Amen? We have zero, just about zero persecution. I don't want any. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. But friend, I'm telling you tonight, if He can't get us preoccupied, He'll begin to persecute. He'll fight us and fight against us. Acts chapter 5, the disciples right here, Bible said, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. All right. So the council has beat on the disciples, said don't preach or teach, don't speak in the name of Jesus. Verse 41 of Acts 5 said, "And they departed from the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." This don't seem like that beating done a whole lot good. Folk make fun of us, and we'll quit talking about the Lord. These boys got beat on, and it never slowed them down. Never slowed them down. Listen, Satan will try his best and that to hide the gospel from the lost. And we're the ones carrying the gospel. It is the gospel that saves. He fights against us from the outside. He fights against us from the inside. Did you know that he will depress you and oppress you if you let him? And sometimes even if you don't let him. You know, if you go back and you look that Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, the Bible said, Paul said, to keep from being exalted above measure, the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. Now I know why the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. Because Paul was given an abundance of revelations and all those things. And it was to keep him humble is what I'm saying tonight, I guess. But did you know that same messenger of Satan can come and buffet you? You ever just struggle to get out of bed in the morning, not because you was tired, but there was something going on spiritually? You were living right, trying to do right and be right and all those things, but you're struggling. Guess who that is? He's coming to oppress you and depress you. You may not believe that tonight. I fought those battles. I understand them tonight. Not everything, but I know He's out there, amen. And I know He'll do anything and everything that He can to hide this gospel. Because the gospel's what saves tonight. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. You know what you do? You do what that song said, page 97. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing and triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The gospel should never be hid
in our life. Take your Bible tonight. And look, boy, I love that old song. Go to Matthew 5. I want you to go to Matthew 5. We may sing that again just here in a minute. Matthew 5. Talking about not hiding the gospel. Matthew 5 and verse 13. Jesus is on the Sermon on the Mount. He just gave the Beatitudes. And he says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Nowhere did I find it, he said, to cover up the light. Nowhere. He said, you don't strike a candle and then put it under a bushel. You put it on the candlestick. He said, that city that's sitting on a hill cannot be hid. He said, let your light shine before men, and so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We do those things so that folk could see Christ in us tonight. They may not go to church. They may not want to hear nothing that you have to say about being saved. But if you'll live right before them, it'll make a difference in their life. If the gospel, what's it mean to be lost? It means that the gospel is hid in their life. They cannot see it, nor can they find it. Why? Number two, I want you to look at what he said in verse 4, "And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." You know why they can't see it even when it's told to them? Because they're blind. They're blind to the very fact of what Christ Jesus done for them. You know, the Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Listen, you know those that are blind live in darkness? I mean, those that are physically blind, it's dark in their life. I couldn't imagine that. Couldn't imagine that. Couldn't imagine living in a life where there's no light. Wouldn't that just be horrible tonight? I mean, especially for us that have had sight and understands what it's like, but then to lose it. I guess if you've never had it, that it would be one thing, but to know what it means to see and then to have it taken away, that would be a whole different ballgame. But you know, the Apostle Paul said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." We were once lost. We were once blinded by Satan, but not anymore. Can I say tonight that, friend, that we have to be that light that shines half unto them so that they might be able to see Christ in us? That, listen, what did he say right here? I believe it was in verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." What did he say in John chapter 3, I believe it is? When he talked about, was it John 1. In John 1 and verse 1, he said, or verse 4, he said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That's what's happening in folks' lives tonight. Listen, I mean, I can preach on Christ. I can let my light shine. But I'm telling you tonight, until Christ Jesus the Lord comes and knocks on that heart and opens that mind and opens that heart, they're never going to comprehend it. They're never just going to see and that to get it. Why? Because Satan hath blinded them, blinded the minds of them which believe not. How does he blind them? You ever think about how Satan keeps lost people lost? Even though there is people out there witnessing, even though there is people out there preaching, even though there is people out there living right, and I pray that's us tonight. But listen, how does he do that? I mean, not only by the church hiding the gospel, but listen, he's got folk in that just eat up in their own pride. He keeps them blinded by the very fact in their own pride, and they won't admit that they're lost. You know, to get saved, you got to admit that you're lost. You have got to say, "I'm lost." I remember the night that I got saved. That's what I admitted. I remember that under my breath. I remember sitting on the back pew, and I remember God dealing with me. Why God waited till the end to deal with me, I don't know. I play that stuff over in my mind a lot of times. And boy, you'll get down a rabbit hole if you ain't careful with that stuff. Trying to figure out the mind of God. Trying to figure out why God... I laid in the bed last night and asked God, Lord, why'd you pick me to preach? Why did you choose me? Why me? What am I? Ain't nothing. There's a lot of men that would probably been better preachers and all those other things. And listen, if you ain't careful, you'll get down that rabbit hole and can't get out of it. But I remember that night that I got saved. I remember the Lord dealing with my heart. And I remember saying under my breath, I'm lost. I'm lost. And like I say, I couldn't tell you what the preacher preached on that night. But I do remember what they were singing. See, that's why I tell you, singing does work, friend. Whether you believe that or not, whether you think, and especially when there's scripture in that song, well, God can take that thing and use it. And I remember him saying, Lord, I'm coming home, I'm coming home. Never more to roam. It was a good night. But I admit that I was lost. And that's what I done. But until you come to that place, the gospel is hid in your life tonight. You got to admit that. You may think that there's some other way to get to heaven, but there ain't. Proverbs 14 and 12 said, there is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can only get to heaven by Jesus Christ, by His gospel tonight, by the death, the burial, and resurrection. That's the only thing that's going to get you there. John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. How does he have them blinded, thinking that there may be some other way? There's only one way. But we sing that old song in the Redback book, there's just one way to the gate. I love it tonight. You may think that you're just as good as anybody else, or that you're hanging on to what somebody else has done. I've talked to some people here recently that wanted to tell me about what their family done. That I had a gentleman come to, we had a little bit of floor laid out at the house, and I was talking to him about the Lord, and he's Baptist, and he told me he was saved, but he always wanted to tell me what somebody else in his family done for the Lord. Now, tell me what his mama and papa done. Tell me what his mom and daddy done. And all those things. And I'm glad that mamas and papas and mom and daddy serve the Lord. But friend, until you get saved, it don't make no never mind what mom and daddy done and what mama and papa done. Listen, you're staying blind in that to the gospel. The gospel must become real in your life. You've seen it real in somebody else's life, but it must become real to you tonight. You're not just as good as anybody else. Isaiah 64 and 6 said that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Romans 3 said that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can't work there. We can't get there on our own. And so the devil blinds them by their works, or they won't admit that they're lost, or they think there's some other way. Tells them they got plenty of time. Friend, time's running out. You know, time is fragile. You know that? One of the things that they told me, and Sister Margie will tell you this, about going to the nursing home. And I remember when I first went, Miss Nyla, that's who, she's over activities, and Miss Nyla told me one day, she said, Preacher, you're going to make friends with some of these folk here. And she said, you're going to come in one day and visit with them, and then you're going to come in the next time, and they're going to be gone. And you know, I have found that to be true more than once in the past 9 or 10 years that I've been going over there, that there's been more than once that I went to go see somebody and I said, oh, they passed away a couple of days ago or last night. Or there's been times that Sister Nyla has texted me or called me and said, this one has passed away. But can I tell you tonight, you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be old to die. Life's fragile. Just that quick. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanisheth away. You don't have plenty of time tonight. But you know, the thing about the blind is they need somebody to guide them, don't they? For I cannot find the way alone. Acts chapter 8, you find that eunuch. That God takes Philip out of revival and sends him down there to the desert. I mean, Samaria, I believe he's in Samaria, ain't he? And I believe he's having revival in Samaria, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, God is doing some great work with Philip's preaching. And so God says, Philip, I want you to leave, and I want you to go down and that into the desert. And so in verse 29 of Acts chapter 8, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So he says, you understand. Now where he's at is in Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 31, and he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and say it with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb done before his shearer, so not as now. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? He didn't know. He was just reading Isaiah 53. That's all he was reading. He said, Philip, who's he talking about right there? In verse 35, boy, I'd love to hear this message. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Boy, you talking about guiding him. Boy, can you imagine? He's sitting up in the chariot with this eunuch and got all these people around. And Philip just rires back and begins to preach about what Jesus had done. Boy, talking about how they took him to Calvary and hung him up. How that he was forsaken. That everybody left him. All that was left out there was a little band of women and one disciple by the name of John. You ever wonder why the Bible said that John was the disciple whom the Lord loved? Think about that for just a second. He had 12 disciples. He had all 12. He had 3, Peter, James, and John. And then at the end of it all, that was there, stood John. Can you imagine when Philip began to preach? So they go a little further, and he says, what hindered me to be baptized? And he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You know, that's what it takes to get saved tonight. Is you got to believe. You got to quit groping and grasping in the darkness and believe. Mark chapter 10, you find the story of blind Bartimaeus who sat by the wayside. You know what? You know what Bartimaeus' name means? If you read over in Mark chapter 10, the Bible said that he was blind Bartimaeus who was the son of Timaeus. That's what his name meant. His name didn't mean nothing. He was just the son of Timaeus. And here he sits. And I mean, he's blind. The Bible said that he cried out, Jesus Christ, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know, the Bible said that those that were around him tried to get him to be quiet. And then Jesus called for him. And he says, well, let's look over in Mark 10. I want to read that. Mark chapter 10. I believe somewhere around verse 46. I was in the wrong book. You can't find it if you're in the wrong book. Mark 10. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You reckon that's what they called him? Was blind Bartimaeus. You know, blind Bartimaeus is sitting right over here.
He's always wanting something. Always in the way. And the Bible said that he sat there begging. Couldn't do nothing for himself. Because he couldn't see. That's the way sinners are tonight. They can't do nothing for themselves. Because they can't see. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. Now, let me stop right here. And I've always wondered about some of these stories in the Bible. He had to have heard something about Jesus ahead of time. Think about that for just a minute. He had to know that this man Jesus could help him. And so here he sits. And Jesus is coming by. And the Bible said that he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. You know, when Jesus comes by, that's when you got to call out for him. So he was coming by. And that's when blind Bartimaeus called out for him. You know why the Bible said to seek him, why he may be found, call on him why he's near? Because when he comes by and knocks on that heart and deals with you, that's when you need to call out. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. I always wondered if this was the same group of people that told him to be quiet a few minutes ago. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus got illuminated, didn't he? He got his eyesight. You know, when you get saved, one, when Jesus comes, he illuminates the fact that you're lost. Ain't that what he done to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9? There was a light shined from heaven that was greater than the noonday sun and shined down on him. And boy, got his attention, didn't it? But you know what happens when you do get saved after you ask Christ Jesus the Lord to come in? He opens your eyes. Light comes in. And boy, it all changes. Now listen. Don't you reckon it was different for blind Bartimaeus when Jesus got done telling him that he was healed to go his way? What was it that in the book of John that one man that Jesus had healed that was blind, he said, this one thing I know. He said, whereas I was blind, and now I see. He didn't know a whole lot, but he knew one thing. He had been blind, and now he sees. Are you blind tonight? Is the gospel hid in your life? You need to come and get saved tonight if you're not. Jesus wants to save you. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would.